Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. G'day, punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are second up off a long spell, and we've got three amigos in the studio tonight. Just kidding. It's not really a studio. We are, one of us is in Pakenham. One of us is in East
Kilburn. I'm in Clyde tonight, actually.
You're in Clyde tonight. Yeah.
Bonnie and Clyde, yeah.
And but sometimes I don't even know where you're from, but anyway, you're from the northern suburbs somewhere.
It's definitely a different residence wherever he is tonight. I haven't seen him before.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Nico, welcome back, mate. Andrew. How's your holidays been? You should be appreciative of us because this is probably the longest spell we've ever taken on the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's about time you finally listen to me. It's been good. It'll do you a world of good having a break at this time of year. Yeah, I've been good. Lots has happened in the world since we've last been on the show together. But yeah, I had a good break. I was actually on the Murray last week. I was in the car on the way home from the Murray last week, and I've been in a bit of pain ever since. I've done myself a bit of a mischief on the back of the boat, so that's a bit of a sick beat. But things are good. No complaints here. The world's still spinning. Work's still busy.
So what happened? What was the incident? You go head over tits, did you, on the back of the boat?
We were doing a bit of kneeboarding and skiing and the biscuit and stuff, and just an old injury flared up, and I've got a bit of tendonitis, fluid in my wrist, so that's giving me a bit of pain. It feels like a knife's being stabbed through it at certain points, so it's not a great feeling. I want to cut it off at the moment, but I'm on struggle street a little bit, but it'll take a little bit to slow me down, so we'll be all right.
That's all right. What about was Clarkie in fine form? We see he's got the whip out, given that the old crack.
Yeah,
bit of showing off action.
Oh, Clarkie loves a bit of whip action after he
did he whip you?
The liquid courage. Oh, fuck, it'd kill you if no one goes near it with the whip. It'd cane. Yeah, no one gets near it. It'd take your eye out or your leg, one of the two. But no, he actually didn't crack it while I was up there. But yeah, obviously that was a surprise that Ads and I had for him to surprise him on the Wednesday, and then obviously we had some surprise celebrations for him on Sunday. So I've actually just copped a barrage of Snapchats of him at Mississippi tonight. So he's having a good time. Wish I was there with him.
We wish Clarkie a happy birthday. Hopefully he had a great week, and hopefully he's continuing. Botter, we didn't go too bad on the podcast last week. It was a profitable weekend for myself. How'd you go?
Yeah, it was good. inside of the first two races at Camperdown, but I ended up winning at Camperdown. I was fine in the end. So it was a good weekend last weekend.
Yeah, so crook.
Keep it going.
Yeah, and there's heaps of racing this week.
What do we got? We got Great Western on Saturday. We've got Balmain and Hanging Rock on Sunday. Cups are the best.
We've got to go to Hanging Rock one year. I reckon that everyone raves about it. It's one of the best country cups. And the spectacle, that photo you see with the rock in behind, looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's hard. There's so many joints you want to go to, but they're all so far away. You've got to be so well planned because you can't exactly get on the piss and drive 5 hours, can you?
My grandma had a horse running up there, and it won its maiden.
Bet the fuck out of it?
No, I didn't actually.
The only word of advice that I'll give anyone going to a country meeting is pack cash.
A shitload of cash, yeah.
Make sure you got cash in the wallet, because if you think the internet at Moonee Valley is bad, you go to one of these country meetings and usually they've only got 50 people on course and all of a sudden it's cup day and they've got 1,000. There's no chance you're getting a bet on your phone using your 3G or your 4G. So
We have to nearly have to walk back to the campsite to get a fucking bet on sometimes.
Oh, that's a joke, stall.
Oh, my days.
Over it.
I'm just over trying to get a bet on it at any venue, to be honest.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to
cash. I was actually thinking about Stall the other day because we've got a beer run next Saturday for the footy mile. Team. The beer mile, the famous beer mile, and I was thinking about it, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're doing like a pub crawl, but you've got to drink a beer at every stop and you run like a kilometre between each one, and it's going to be pretty brutal.
Doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, it doesn't at all. We're going to be chundering all over the floor.
So where we used to go every Easter bot, there's on the Saturday afternoon or the Sunday afternoon, they have a beer mile. So there's an old velodrome within the caravan park. So what you have to do, you have to scull a beer, run a lap, and then pass the baton to your partner. You're in a quartet of four. That's a stall, yeah. This is just average people. This is not just like no athletes.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Athletes with aspirations when they were younger, possibly. there's some serious spewage happening. Well, we're getting sidetracked now.
Let's move on to the racing. We're going to start tomorrow night, which is Moonee Valley. It's an 8-race card, and we farewell an absolute icon of Australian racing and of Moonee Valley, and that is Marty Synon. He's been in the job for 41 years, so he's done an incredible job. I think he started in 1984, he must have only been 14 or 15 years old as a young apprentice on the tools, and he's been the track manager for a few decades now. He's actually got the last race named after him. It is the Marty Synon Mile, and he was reminding us that it is the second time he's had a race named after him. The other one was in 2003. So he's gone up to race in Queensland. There's no bad blood at all. He's got his partner up there on the Gold Coast, and he's got a really good role up there, and he's going to enjoy some sunshine on the back. So it is well-deserved, Marty, and I'm looking forward to sharing tomorrow night with you.
Yeah, because he listens, doesn't he?
Absolutely listens. Absolutely.
Does he?
Listens. No, probably not.
He does.
There are quite a few people at the Valley that do tune in, but not all of them tell me. And then all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, I like your podcast the other day, or they'll mention a good tip or a shit tip that I gave, and I'm like, damn, I actually forget how many people do tune in.
Yeah, like all 15 of them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, half of them probably work at the Valley.
Everyone's
Marty has got the rail in the true position. It was in the true position the last time we raced in December. So it's had a bit of a break. I think it's a month. Hopefully the track plays fair. Went for a walk of it today, and it looks pretty good. Race one is over 1,000 metres. It's a benchmark 64. Tonkin is $2.40 from Levien, $2.50. Skipjack is $4.60. They're the only hopes in the market. Bot might be tipping something else. Extreme Diamond, $10. I will hand the baton, though, to Nicholas first.
Yeah, I think Lindsay's got a pretty smart filly on his hands here, and I think Tonkin is a bit of a squib, and I think this market push for her is silly, and I just think that Lavienne's got a little bit more substance, and I just think she should be incredibly hard to beat. I think we're going to see a bit of an influx in Lindsay's form turnaround with all these horses at his new base. For those that have been living under a rock and haven't been aware of what's going on, he's moved from his Warrnambool base down to Barwon Heads to share facilities with Danny O'Brien to be closer to Melbourne Metro for his owners and to save a bit of costs and to change things up. He's been at Warrnambool for a long time. Lindsay was one of the sort of the big guns that Warrnambool got in after Weary left the joint. So, yeah, I think a change is as good as a holiday. And I think he's, well, I don't think it's that bad of me to say, but his horses and his stable was probably a little out of form compared to what we've come to expect of him. And, yeah, I think that form might be starting to turn around a little bit with his new base. So I think he's got a pretty smart horse on his hands here, who I know that he's got a bit of an opinion of. And I think, yeah, I think it's a pretty simple ride for Fred. Hopefully he just doesn't get bullied by Shinny early. And, yeah, I think he'll be extremely hard to beat.
Yep, I fully concur. Best of the night for me, Levien. I took $3. There has been 5 cents deductions come off that, but I just think she looks the most obvious winning hope on the card tomorrow night. Obviously, if you go back and watch her debut, she had absolutely no luck. And then I didn't get the track mail that she was absolutely flying coming into her second preparation, but she was backed all the way into an odds-on quote, and she won by 3 lengths. Back to 1,000 metres is your only little niggle, but I just think she's got so much more substance than Tonkin, who I agree, Nick, does look a little bit squibby. And, yeah, I just think she's the best horse in the race. Skipjack has got to carry the apprentice, doesn't have a lot of gate speed early, sort of gapping it. And, yeah, in this small field, I don't think there will be too many problems for Levien, who can sort of position herself near enough to the speed, hopefully in the 1-1 and power away. But you're tipping something at double figures.
Cool.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of speed on this race. I think Star of Ida is going to want to kick up, and Tonkin's going to, obviously, it's a fast horse, it's going to be there, and Earth God's going to be punching up to try and be in the first sort of, you know, he's going to be there with them. He's going to be pushing. So there's going to be speed on. I think Lavien probably gets the drop on them, and if they overdo it, I think Extreme Diamond's the one who really sort of nice SP on debut, and then at second start it won really, really nicely at Geelong. And you sort of look through that form and the rating that it ran there, the form through all of those horses has stood up really well. And then it went to Moonee Valley at its next start, and, you know, started $13 Betfair in the Mackenzie with Andrew Capital, Bizasto, those sorts of horses. So I think 1,000 metres is iffy, but I think they could overdo it here, and it's the one that's going to be running at Adam Lane. It's trialed pretty well. It's a bit of early support for us, so I think it might firm quite hard. So, yeah, hopefully I'll be on Lavien too, because I think it just gets a great run, and I'm still spewing it didn't run last weekend at Flemington because it would have belted it. I'll be on Extreme Diamond.
It's interesting if there was a reason as to why Lavien didn't run last week. I don't know if they were just waiting.
I don't know, but it would have absolutely. Oh God.
Yeah, maybe we try and follow up there. But I've got another bet in race 6. It is the 55-second challenge. We skip straight to the quaddy legs over 9.55. Of course, it's a benchmark 70. Big Me 350. Kyle 350 coming back from Hong Kong. Oak Hill 440. And Moon and Back, well, she knows her way around the 9.55 around the valley, is $6. But I'm giving Big Me another chance. Now, Barrier 1 is a little
scary.
It's a little scary, no doubt. And he was a little bit disappointing as well last start at Flemington. But the tongue tie went on for his gallop at the valley on Monday, and he galloped extremely well. The tongue tie stays on Saturday. Nick's betting. I know that for sure. So I'm on. I thought he probably should have beaten Major Chair. I almost said it again. Starts back at Moonee Valley. Probably a moral beaten. Major Chair has gone on and won again. The form is really good. Kyle, look, I know his jump out was extremely good, but I think he's a little bit squibby. I remember him from Hong Kong, and same thing. Hutchie
over there. So it's 9:55.
What was
They're
that?
All squibby.
Does Hutchie own this one as well?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But Hutchie is tipping big man. He's only got Kyle third pick. So usually if their form isn't that good and they get sold from Hong Kong back to Australia, like, I don't think that's not telling me I want to back it at $3.50. I'd much prefer to be on big me. And the thing I love is the jockey booking gets Mark Zara on for the first time. As good as Craig Williams is, MZ is just the best in the game at putting the elbows up and getting out of trouble. So if he does have a bit of traffic to negotiate at the home turn, I think MZ's our man. So I've taken $3.80, big me. It's not a big bet by any means, but yeah, he's one I want to side with.
I'll definitely come with you, but I've still got PTSD from what happened last time around the valley.
Yeah, it definitely could happen again.
Biggest bet you've ever seen. Oh, 100% it could.
It could happen again, but
there is a very good 9.55 horse in this race, but
moving
back. Each way special. I'm still on the floor how it didn't win a couple of starts ago. Start before, I reckon.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it's a good each way chance. It's always consistent.
Yep. Let's move on to the feature. It is the Group 2 Australia Stakes over 1,200 metres, famously won by Black Caviar in 2010 and 2012. There's been some really good clashes in it in recent years as well. Malaguira beating Blackheart Bart. We've had some class horses win it, the likes of Moravi and V8 in even more so recent years. Southport Tycoon, he won the Manicato last year. He's into an odds-on quote of $1.90. Schwartz is $4.80. Stepardi, $6.50. It's Our Time, $7.50. And they are the only market chances. Who wants to kick us off here?
You go, Bob.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so I reckon there's a bit of speed on. I think Semyon probably has to go and lead. Apache Song probably wants to sit outside or maybe even tries to get to the lead, I guess. Title Fighter want to be positive along the river. I'm not sure. It might be wide and sneak back, but then, you know, what's the point of doing that? And I think they probably want to go forward on Schwartz, so I think they probably want to make an effort to try and get outside lead, but might be three wide. You know, the map could be really, really sticky for Schwartz. Just depends what they do. Like, it could be three wide the whole way. I think It's Our Time probably gets them out of the map, the best map, and Southport Tycoon's probably three back the rails, and Poison Chalice to party out the back. Because it's, you know, who cares? They're not here to win. I mean, Stepardi might be, but yeah, couldn't back him. I think that, you know, it's a tricky race. I think you couldn't give Southport Tycoon his Manicato number, and it's a gross map. It's got Mark Zara on it. There's probably a bit of pace on, so you know, it'll break the field up, and he might get a run at him, but. It's not a race I love. I think Schwartz is probably slightly too big, but there's a high probability of him being three wide the whole way. And I think Blake Shin's got to make a decision: do I snag back or do I go handlebars straight to the front? And if he goes handlebars straight to the front, I don't think he's that good. So it's not a race I'm about on at all.
Yep, Nico.
Well, I don't share the same concerns as Blake Shin being three wide the entire. I think there's every possibility that he finds the 1-1. Blake Shin's a positive jockey more often than not. If you've ever got any doubt that he's not going to find a position, he always somehow does find that position. So I do think Schwartz will get to the 1-1. And I think Southport Tycoon's going to be minimum three defence. So at $5 Schwartz, I think he's probably the bet in the race at the moment. I have my queries. There's no shades on Southport Tycoon. It's a lesser race than the Manicato, so there's not going to be Group 1 pressure. He's a Group 1 pressure beast, and I think that it's not going to take much to go wrong for Southport to be for the what am I looking for the bird to flow. Flow on by, and him not to be able to make up the ground on Schwartz if you know, he looms up, peels out three wide at the corner, and Southport's still running up asses. So I think Southport's a bit short at the moment. I think he'd want like 240, 250, and I don't know if he's going to get to that point. I just think there's no doubt that he's the best horse in the race by a space. But I just think first up, 1,200 metres in, it could be a bit of a pace meltdown and he might not get the gaps. That's my query. That's, I can see him being undone and I don't want to charge into him at even money with those doubts around this track with his setup on Friday night. So I think at the moment probably Schwartz is a safe bet, but I would not at all be surprised if Southport gets the gaps with Mark Zahra, Kieran, clearly the best horse in the race, but I think Schwartz is the bet at the moment. Just, I think he'll get the one line, and I just think he's probably got less hurdles in front of him than what Southport does.
Yeah, I think you've identified the two main chances. I've backed Southport Tycoon. I took $2.30 on 365, basically on open. And once Sportsbet went up $1.65, I knew he was just going to come in because it's just outrageous how short they opened him up. But one thing I do note from the stable, from Jack Turnbull and watching his recent jump out, is that they've come out and said he's training as fresh as he's ever been and he's training more like a sprinter coming into this preparation, which gives me a little bit of confidence that he's got enough freshness in the legs to sprint well first up 1,200 metres. It's not going to be as fast or as high a pressure as that Manicato that he won. That was just an enormous win, how he was able to come over the top of Growing Empire. Sick beat for a lot of us. And he did have the blinkers on there. Doesn't have the blinkers on tomorrow night. But even though I've got him mapped through the fence, I think the gaps will start to open with good enough pressure in the race. And as I said, with the Big Me race, he's got Mark Zahra on board. And Mark Zahra doesn't like getting locked in pockets, and he usually finds his way out. So I'm happy to be on Southport Tycoon. It's not a max bet by any means, but I took $2.30, and I've also saved on Schwartz at $5.50. I've got him mapped in the 1-1, similar to Nico. I think he'll come across and find that beautiful spot. And he, I know it's only a trial, but they don't trial much better than he did. And you just get the feeling that potentially he goes from a boy to a man, this preparation, if he can put it all together. I know he has been a little bit frustrating for punters at times, but his career peak rating does come first up over 1,200 metres last preparation in that Missile Stakes.
He wasn't right, and they said that he was a bit off and they really couldn't identify what it was at the time, but they knew that he wasn't right. And they just forget that day at Flemington. J-Mac said he just hated the straight, and they'll never go down. I don't think they'll go down the straight again with him.
Yeah,
that's worth noting.
All right, let's get over to Sandown Lakeside. Obviously, this is previews day for the Blue Diamond, 1,000 metres for the fillies and for the colts and geldings. It was meant to be run at Caulfield, but obviously they had that crazy arsonist who set the joint on fire, and they've had to obviously reschedule a few meetings, and this is one of them. The first race we're going to look at is race 3. It is the Blue Diamond preview for the boys. Over 1,000 metres, Shining Smile, $2.20. It's the only one in the race with any race form. From Red is $3.50. Menshevik is $4. And Alutadun is $6.50. I definitely butchered that one. Nico, you're siding with the race form?
Yeah, I just think Shining Smile is going to be extremely hard to beat. I just think he's proven where the others we don't know yet. And I just think race experience normally means a little bit in these races. And I just think... I'd be pretty surprised if he's not getting beat. I don't really want to make a two-year-old my best bet of the day because obviously there could be a few Ferraris under the bonnet, but I don't think there is. I think there needs to be something said about the lack of depth. Like where the fuck are all the colts and geldings? We could have two divisions of the fillies race. Where are all the colts? And it doesn't sound.
I think
like
all the good ones are in Sydney.
Wow. Well, doesn't sound like there's going to be that many in the chairman's next week either. I don't know where they're all hiding. So, it's not out of the ordinary that the fillies are stronger. I think that's been probably the writing's been on the wall the last couple of years that there's been more dominance from the fillies. But, yeah, I just think Shining Smile, he's the here and now horse, and I think it's going to take a pretty good horse to beat him. He's got all the right form in around him, and Yeah, I think we could even see a better horse second preparation. Yeah, Sandown's not going to worry him. But I will note something. Gav's Wooden Basset horse, back when I used to do some work with Gav, he's a fairly good-looking specimen. So, and that would have been 6 to 9 months ago. So if he's come on from there, which I expect he would have, he's a like a royal black. He's a big brute of a thing. If looks are anything to go by, he looks like he could run fast. So it'd be interesting to see if he does.
Yep, that's Yamashita's Gold, the seven you speak of. Yeah, it's an interesting point you make about the fillies dominating the two-year-old ranks, especially in Victoria and the Blue Diamond. I mean, in the Golden Slipper, some of those better, you know, colts are winning that race still. But it does feel like there's more quality in the girls. And Godolphin did have three nominated for this race. One of them was a Freedman horse who was scratched in Tentris. But they did nominate Baywatch and Burma Star. They are staying in Sydney. I don't think Burma Star is going to run, but Baywatch is definitely running, and that's going to be a cracking race we'll look at soon.
Is that how you say it, Baywatch?
Oh, that's what I'm going with, but I think it's actually Baywalked or something like something weird. Well, but
the name is Bivouac in German. That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so it's Baywacht. Baywacht.
Baywacht. Yeah. Baywacht. Yeah, that's how you say it.
Baywacht. See what Darren Flindale goes with, and that's good enough for me. Well, oh, you know, that thing's proper then. If it's named after the stallion in like a different language, like it's obviously proper.
Yeah, like, well,
that often names punters.
Spoiler alert, I'm backing it. Race four is the Blue Diamond Phillies preview, and we're going to find out what Bot is backing here. Number two is Palm Angel, $4. Price tag's $5.50. My Gladiola is $5.50, and Wiltshire Square is $6.50. As Nico said, this is a much bigger field. This is a full field.
I can't believe you found something on the line.
They're racing at Sandown, and you found something that's actually drawn at Caulfield.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably want to back Palm Angel, but I've noticed it's been hammered. And I didn't back
you
it.
Love
and
your, also, you love your
I was also wanting to have something on My Gladiola as well, who's by Villa Verde, who I remember as who won at the Ottawa as a two-year-old, because I remember because I pretend backed her because she was the only filly that had won a race, and she was grey too. So I remember her winning.
So you're actually backing My Gladiola because of that?
No, not because of that. Look at the trials. It looks proper.
Are you having an omen bet?
No, it's not an omen bet. It just happens to be an omen bet, but it also trialed up like a.
I don't know what's more surprising, the fact that Bot could either be having an omen bet or the fact that he's properly watching trials now. I don't know. What's more surprising?
Watching him. I don't know. I wanted to have a bet on this race, and I think Palm Angel is like one of the best two-year-olds we've got, and if the market wants to give me a good price because it's drawn wide, then I'm going to have a bet. And I think My Gladiola is a rocket.
Yeah.
So back both of them, hopefully. But they've both been hammered, so.
There is a rocket in this race.
Palm Angel's the one I want to be on.
Well, I don't quite understand why Miss Celine's 850. I know it's a deep race, but she couldn't have been any more impressive.
The race went awful at a one.
Yeah, well, I don't really care what the race did. I saw what it did to my eye. It visually looked very sexy, so I think that it's going to lose nothing with Zara on. Interesting that Zara goes on this and he's been riding Price Tag.
Price Tag's no good.
He might have already been engaged, Nico, with these types of things. These are two-year-olds, and often you have jockeys that need to sort of commit earlier than you think.
I don't think Price Tag's much good, to be honest. It's like one of those trial ones.
Well, the jungle drums are beating, and she's really improved into her second preparation. So we'll soon.
Oh, they all like, honestly, the jungle drums. I wouldn't do like.
There's not a bad. I think
she's still a bit of a head case. Anyway, but I think you'll get better than what the prices currently are, because everyone will want to spec their horse because they work for this stable and they've heard this horse has been trialing well and other horses will be backed in the market. You can bet your bottom dollar that you'll get a better price. Thing.
You'll get
$5.50
earlier, so.
Let's move on. Stop talking. Race five is the WJ Adams Stakes. It's over 1,000 metres. It's a listed event. Fickle, how high can the ceiling go? She's won three in a row, and she's won four of her last five. She's absolutely flying. $2.50 favourite from Pondalowie, $3.30. Mrs. Chrissy is $3.40. Then you're way out to double figures with Philosopher at $10. Lads, who wins this one? Will.
Mrs. Chrissy staying in Melbourne, for those that care.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's great. It keeps the juice in the price because she can't win.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cannot win. No, I can, but awful value.
No, she can't. She's a fucking flea.
Tell us who you are backing.
Pondalowie's nearly the best bet of the day, punters. That's all you need to know. I just think she's just got far superior form than anything else in this race. You go back, she's beaten She's Bulletproof. You can tie that form in. She nearly beat Nyonce. She's Bulletproof and Nyonce. There's not much between them. They're two very progressive horses. She goes really good fresh, two from three. I think she's just drawn really well. And yeah, I just think she's got the best form in the race. Fickle's been very well and been very good to us. Like, she's been winning and banking some nice checks, but I like the fields that she's been beating. Like, she beat Mighty by less than a length, and I don't think Mighty's finished from last week yet. So, I just think it's fairly easy and fairly obvious. I think Pondalowie should just be winning. Moral.
There you go. Yeah, she definitely got the best form on the board. I just worry a tiny bit, 1,000-meter race, and they're going to go, like, cut snakes here. Whether that potentially could bring her undone, it's a no-bet race for me. But, Will, are you back anything?
Yeah, I think I know exactly what I'm betting on. I'm betting against because because you're getting a price about this thing because it's 1,000 metres and Fickle's the – you know, Fickle keeps winning and, you know, it's putting up, like, decent ratings. But Pondalowie is a much, much, much better horse. And if it runs anywhere near its best,
this is dangerous.
Hammer them. Mrs. Chrissy, Mrs. Chrissy is an awful price. It'll continue to drift. I think it'll start, like, $7. I think they'll keep Fickle relatively firm. And I don't really know what the market's going to do, to be honest with you, because they could either gap Pondalowie or they could absolutely hammer her. I think she's about a 220 chance, and I'm going to back her regardless.
They can't possibly gap her. If they do gap her, just bet again. Yeah, but.
Well, like $4, not gap her.
I think that's being overplayed. They go hard, her stamina will.
Well, I mean, supreme.
If they don't go, she'll just murder them anyway.
The rating against Neonce is too good for them to gap it, surely.
Yeah. And then I backed her at Flemington after I backed what's its name, the Freeman filly that's really good, I backed Isthmus in the Neonce and Pondalowie race, and then I backed Pondalowie at Flemington and Isthmus won by 2.5 lengths. So yeah,
you're basically the cooler.
Yeah, pretty much. Hopefully not on Saturday.
That Flemington form anyway. Horses, just, things get overplayed. Horses fail and it gets exaggerated down the straight.
We're going to skip a couple races and we're going to go to race eight, which is the John Dillon Stakes 1400-meter listed event. And my best bet of the day comes up here. Aztec Ruler is $3 favorite. Chalk Lane is actually also $3 on the tab, but you can get better elsewhere. Coast Watch, $4.80. And Just Folk has got to carry the big 61 kilos. He's $6.50. I think Chalk Lane all he needs is a gap from barrier one, and he should be taking care of these. I thought he was almost, I wouldn't say a certainty beat, but I think he probably should have won the Supernova that Here to Shock one. That was a strong race there at Pakenham. And same thing again, he drew barrier one and was locked up on the fence. That was when he was ridden by Safi Osborne. I like what I see from this Shane Foley so far. I think he's delivered a few good rides for Kirimara over the last few weeks. this horse gets in beautifully with 55.5 kilos, and he's just absolutely flying. I think 1400 meters is his best trip, and hopefully he can just be in that first couple in run. We know he's going to be on the fence from barrier one, and we know he's going to need a gap at some stage, but he's the one for me, and I think he just has to get past or hold out Aztec Ruler, who looks the only real danger in my opinion.
I think if it can be fought of midfield, they'll string out because Buffalo River will, you know, he'll get going. And it's sand down, spacious track. They'll fan out the top of the straight and they're going down the dip. If he gets a gap, I think you look through his ratings and they're just sort of a function of him. Like his lower ratings are just when he's squealing home, like 7 above the last 400 metres. And when he's sort of getting to that 98, 99, 99 range, it's when he's being sort of put into the race. Well, not put into the race, but like paced where he can run well enough. So I think he probably runs like 99. Yeah, he might run a career peak, I don't know. If he's in the first half of the field, I think it's I could back him. Yeah, 340 is probably almost pulling the trigger almost, I think.
Beautiful. Let's get to the day's feature then. It's the Manfred Stakes 1200 meters Group 3. Band of Brothers is $4.60. Indola, $6. Wonderboy, $6. Royal Insignia is $6.50. And Judicial, how do you say that? $8.
Judicial.
And Tropicus, $8.50. And we've also got the 1,000 Guineas winner returning here is $10. She did throw in a late nomination for the Australia Stakes tomorrow night, but she is going to stick to her own age group because this is all three-year-olds. Nico, are you just taking the one here or are you doing a Tommy Two Bets?
Which race, sorry?
Race 9, the Manfred.
Yeah, I thought this was a good two-bet play race. I thought you could pen a few here. Wonder Boy's no fucking good. Royal Insignia is just inferior form to these. I don't think Tropicus is any good. And another profit needs further. So I thought there was two decent bets you could have. You could back Nadola. Price is vanishing here, but back it. And I'm going to back Odison as well. I think it's a nice horse.
Oh,
yeah, I just really like what it did in Queensland. It had the writing on the wall in its first preparation that it always showed a bit. They had it in some of the best races, and I know they've always had a decent rap on it. So, I think it, hopefully we get a little bit better than Dola, but it's probably right that he's close to favourite because I think he's
nearly
the best horse in the race. Yeah, I think that's an easy two-bet play because I think there's a lot of dead wood in this race. That have taken up a lot of percentage. So I think if you back both of those two, you shouldn't be too far away.
Will, by the sounds of your sort of chuckles there, I reckon you've found the same horse.
Yeah. Yeah, I have Odinson favourite.
Wow.
I think this is one of the
there's so many shit horses. Well, not weird. Race.
But like, I reckon this is the most off market I've been in so, so long. Like, I think Band of Brothers is so bad. It's $4.80 favorite. I think it's no good at all. Like, what's it ever done? Like, won the Bane, but I.
Apparently it's going to Hong Kong. Oh, it's going to be elite. What's it going to be, elite pony?
Yeah. Oh fuck! We've missed you, Nico.
Like, being smashed up by Sweetheart, it's got the run under the belt, but like. I just saw this Odinson. I love the time it ran at in Queensland, and I loved like the sort of SPs early days and all that sort of stuff.
You know, it's the best part of it, Bob. It's colours,
Tommy.
Sexy colours.
Yeah, it's got a nice name too, doesn't it?
The computer goes off with those colours.
Oh mate, it does. Explodes. The computer's just like it's flashing at me. I'm an epileptic fit.
It's like a fucking beacon. Like a beacon on, it's like a beacon on site.
Anyway,
$12, I've got a $4 favorite. So
I've got to get a bet on before this podcast finishes.
I'm probably going to back Naughty Benny as well, who should have beaten Judicial last time. One's $8.50, the other one's $20.
What the hell? I didn't even realize there's a horse called that.
It's Naughty Benny. That's an open bet too.
I didn't even look that far down the page. Yeah, it's Naughty Benny.
Naughty Benny.
Ridden by Ben Malham. Yeah. You are kidding. You are kidding.
I've done that on purpose, I reckon.
Oh, no. Naughty Benny, ridden by Benny, 1 week after he's been married, and he's riding a horse called Naughty Benny.
I just got back from the Bucks party.
Overs and unders?
Hopefully he hasn't.
Oh, hopefully should I just have the bankroll on it? I reckon I should.
Oh, no. This is what sets my computer off.
Omen bet.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to put a couple bets on and we'll get to raise 10. But what I did want to say is there's far too much agreeing you two so far. It's just a bit of a love affair at the moment. It's making me a little bit sick.
Well, he's finally in his break. He's actually had time to cleanse his mind and think about how I do for him, and he's taken notes and he's put them into practice.
So, I'll tell you what, it's been a very boring podcast so far.
Oh, well, no shit.
Has it? Yeah. It'll get more exciting towards the end of it.
Yeah, once we get the questions through from one GG Gemstone mega fan, then it might start to spice up.
Here we go. We got a GG Gemstone fucking...
might be a tip as well.
I hope you blokes are ready to look for a new job.
All right, race 10 is over 1,200 metres. It's a benchmark 74. New York Luster is $2.40 favourite. I'm not even going to read out the rest because I reckon it's one of your better bets of the day, Botter, and I've followed you in.
This will win. It's just a lot better than them. Like, at 1,000 and it wants 12. So I think if you go straight to the front, it's way too fast for them and it'll win. I think it's a $1.80 chance, and that's being kind to the rest of them. So,
I agree for what it's worth.
Oh, shut up!
Man. I also concur.
Yeah, Nico shouldn't agree with me. That makes me feel dirty.
Well, I've actually got it marked as shorter than you, so that's fine.
Do you?
In Nico's 100% market.
Yeah, I've actually got it $1.77. So,
$1.40.
Yeah, right. Is that rounded up or is that just straight?
No, that is whatever you said he was going to go 25 cents under.
Yeah. I can't tell you all my tricks. I'm giving you tips on how to do form and back winners. I can't tell you exactly what happened in the matrix.
All right. You said a matrix.
Order. Let's move on. All you need to know is that we're all on New York Luster in the last at Sandown, and it will be ridden by Jamie Malham with the new surname. Hopefully Naughty Benny into Jamie Malham. That'll be a very, very interesting running double to close out proceedings.
Let's do a multi. Let's do a double.
We're going to have to take it.
You'll get 50 to 1, something like that.
We can take Bot's Omen earlier into it.
Yeah. All right, let's go over to Royal Randwick, where for once it's going to be clear skies and sunshine. I said it. Hopefully it actually does eventuate because we've got a few very highly touted two-year-olds going around in race one. The rail is out 7 metres. Hopefully it is playing fair. 1,000-metre two-year-old open event. It's over 1,000 metres. United States makes his debut. He costs $1.75 million. And he wears the purple of Coolmore, which you don't often see here in Australia. We've got Bayvac. That's what we're going with. $3.80 for Godolphin. He's a homebred son of Bivouac. What a sprinter he was. YOLO. You can pen it off its name. $4.40. Open Secrets, $8.50. And Miss Fleetwood is $9. I'm going to be with Bayvac here, the Godolphin horse. If you watch his two trials in his first trial preparation, he's just come back a completely new horse after a little bit of a break. His two trials this time in have been very, very good. You just have to go back and watch them yourself. Log into the Racing New South Wales website to view them. And he still had plenty under the bonnet in his first one. And in the second one, you can just see he gets given a little bit of a squeeze and watch him to and through the line. I like his page, and I think he's just going to be a real, real good sprinter. I also think he's got a bit more of an advantage because he has been to the trials a few times, whereas this United States has only been to the trials once, and he looked decent, but it's only one soft trial, and he's going into this 1,000 metres. I don't know if it's really here to win. He could just come out and blow them away from barrier two, but I'm with the Godolphin horse, and I'm pretty keen.
Huge.
Anyone else betting?
Yeah, right. No, I just think that thing's so, like, look at the trials, like, the breeding's there too, like, so good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited about it. And this United States, if United States wasn't, like, didn't cost 1.7, trained by Chris Waller and in those silks, like, if it was a Chris Lee's thing that cost 300 grand, like, it'd be like 31 here, wouldn't it? Like, it's off one trial, a trial isn't anything special.
Hmm. Well, it would still be by Schnitzel if it was trained by Chris Lee. Like, I don't think it would be 30-1, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if it was just a random breed, like, it was just like a catalyst or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, they'd want to be fucking good anyway.
Yeah, he wasn't really tested in the trial, but, yeah, I think he's pretty good, but I'm hoping the Godolphin horse is even better. Race 5 is over a mile. It's a benchmark 88. And we see Don Diego de Vega resume for Annabelle Neesham and Rob Archibald is $2.30. Favorite from Vega Magnifico is $4. Mishuala $5.50 and Four Victory $5.50 as well. This big grey, Nico, is that who you're on?
Yeah. There's one negative on this, the jockey. That's it. But
I'm not a fan of Jay Cole.
What's wrong with him?
No.
He's the Mick D of Sydney.
He's fucking useless. He's not far off.
He's not gone very well recently.
See, he's returned, actually. My kryptonite. He's back.
I know.
So if
he doesn't know who you are, mate.
If variance and my world starts going into disarray, we know why. But anyway, Don DeVay.
There's no variance to go off. Nothing can vary. You haven't been on the podcast in 2 months.
Yeah, well, it can vary in this thing here that I'm pointing at. Don Diego de Vega will simply win this race. I think he's got a bit of substance to go on to some good races in the carnival. This is a pretty pathetic race. I think this horse will start about $1.85, and I think he'll win pretty comfortably, to be honest. His recent trial was good. J-Mac Road
victory.
There's intent there. J-Mac would be riding this horse if he wasn't going to win on the world's best horse in Dubai in the early hours of the morning instead of riding at Royal Randwick in the Drinkwise Mile benchmark 88. But, I just think he's got a bit of substance here. Don Diego de Vega, he's an exciting horse. There's been big raps on him. So it's time for him to step into those shoes and go and panel beat a field of squibs that he's up against on Saturday.
Yep. Off topic, we've just had someone message in, Matt, hey, bro, love the question at the start of the podcast.
Oh, fuck off. Stop winding me up,
next
Matt.
Week
I don't know who you are, Matt, but you're already on the list, champ.
For context, Nico's come back on the podcast and he's gone. There's no chance we're doing questions first.
Not a fucking chance. Absolutely zero.
The king's spoken. Anyway. I'm on Don Diego de Vega as well. I'm probably going to be on him pretty strong. There's one and one only knock, and it's that he is probably a little bit one-paced, and he's first up at 1,600 metres. Both of his performances in Australia were over 1,800, but he was given a bit
second
of a rev up to win the 1,200. Though. Yeah, second preparation with Ma. He was given a bit of a rev up to win his recent 1,200-metre trial, and hopefully he's got enough freshness in the legs to sprint well at 1,600 metres. I think he should be too classy for these. He's got two decent ratings on the board here in Australia, and if he can improve on that, then, yeah, he clearly looks the one. As Nico said, this is not a strong benchmark 88 at all. It's only a small field, and he should put himself up near the pace. So, yeah, he should just out-muscle them here, even if he is a little bit one pace in that final sort of 200.
Don't fall off.
We move on to race 9, Nico. This is a rogue one. 1,200-meter benchmark 78 for the Colton Geldings. Number 11 is the favorite. Not going to attempt the name. $4. Step Aside is $4.80. Boston Rocks, $6. And Unstoppable is $7.50. Who do you like?
Yeah, well, He's Darn Hot Too is the horse we're backing. Pretty nice gallop of this bloke. He's been absolutely crunched. He was fucking like $5.50 this morning when I was doing the form. $4 now at the Green Cafe. That's a bit tight, but I just think this is another race that's devoid of any real world beaters, and I don't think he's a world beater himself, but I think he's a horse that's better than benchmark 78 grade. He ran really well on the Gold Coast. The soft ground isn't too his preferred. I think the Two Darn Hots seem to go a little bit better on top of the ground. I just think Josh Parr will just have to keep him in a nice spot. This horse has got a wicked turn of foot, very push button, and I think he'll be extremely hard to beat. He's obviously got to go and do it, but I think the engine's underneath the hood. I just think he's a fair bet in a race that's got a few horses that sometimes try, sometimes don't. I think if he's got clear running from the top of the straight, he'll rip home and he'll just finish all over the top of him, I think.
All right, too good. I probably should have had a crack at announcing that name. It wasn't even that hard.
Yeah, you really wimped out there.
I certainly did.
That's Matty Hill-esque.
It's getting a bit... Oh, I will not hear. I will not hear bad words. There is one knock on Matt Hill, and that is sometimes he doesn't call the winner.
Have a crack, Matty.
When there's TV wouldn't have had a crack at it because he would have been trying to tell you where his bet is at a 6 wide, 8 loss.
No, I do love Matt Hill.
He's moving up to them.
Let's go around the grounds now, punters. It is worth noting that there's only 9 races at Randwick because the Carrington Stakes black type event got canned because there probably wasn't enough acceptances and a few dual nominations. And PVL probably didn't want to have the embarrassment of a 2-horse or a 3-horse race, so he's just scrapped the race altogether, which is extremely, extremely interesting.
Too many races.
Yeah, exactly right. And lots of 1,400-meter races. We need a little bit more 2,000-plus, I reckon. But we don't have the horses for it, so it's a bit of a catch-22. Let's go around the grounds. We will deep dive the Maidan race just quickly. Race 7, Maidan on Saturday morning, which is Friday night, so it's 4 a.m. on Saturday. Make sure you set your alarms for this, punters, because Romantic Warrior is going around in the Group 1 Jebel Hatter. He only really has one horse to beat. He's a $1.50 favorite from Measured Time, who's $3.50. This Godolphin horse does have a bit of substance, and he is a decent horse. He beat Nation's Pride a few starts back, who's another very good Godolphin horse. And he won extremely impressively last start on the Syntho by about 7 lengths. He's had 10 starts for 7 wins and 2 seconds, and he's one of the better horses Charlie Appleby has right now. So it's not going to be a complete walk in the park for Romantic Warrior, but he should be winning. That last start win in the Hong Kong Cup was awesome. He put a few lengths on Liberty Island and he started very short. So you're actually getting a decent price here, Nico. If you want to sort of multi up a champion, $1.50 for what is arguably the best horse in the world right now.
Oh, it's better than bank interest. He'll win. There's no doubt about it. He's the best horse in the world. And I don't give a fuck what anyone says.
Have the bankroll on this $1.40 shot.
Like, he just does it all. He's just going to be in the plum spot. It doesn't matter what distance, what country, what opposition, he just goes there and beats him. He's just a freak of a horse. We're witnessing greatness. It's being underappreciated what he's actually doing. And that's why I will always hold him in higher regard than Golden 60, because it's very easy to be a champion in your own backyard. And that's one thing that we were derived of with Winx, You know, Nature Strip was the world's best sprinter. He went and won a race that was worth a bag of coins in Europe just to show and solidify that he was one of the best horses in the world and one of the best horses, one of the best sprinters that we've seen. You know, it really just, you really cement yourself as a champion if you go and do it against, when you've got the odds against you, not just against the same old horses that you beat up on. So, yeah, I admire that they're taking him on a global globe-trotting exhibition. And, yeah, obviously this starts on turf this week, but it'll be interesting to see how he goes on dirt. But I think good horses are good horses, no matter what surface they race on. So, yeah, hopefully they overplay the challenge that he's got on in front of him running on dirt and starts to come, and we keep getting a good price without a freak.
Yeah. I might actually take the double of Romantic Warrior into Don Diego de Vega. That'll get you about $3.70, and that's the way I might play that Saturday morning into the probably what looks the most likely winning chance at Randwick on Saturday. Yeah, just for those who are still wondering, so Romantic Warrior runs here, the Jebel Hatter, 1,800 metres turf, Group 1. He then goes to the Saudi Cup, which is on the dirt over in Saudi Arabia, and then he comes back to Dubai. Depending on how he goes in that Saudi Cup, they'll either go to the Dubai World Cup, which is run on dirt. He'll be up against
for 20 million. River,
who won the race. Didn't he win the race by like 12 lengths last year? Yeah, something like that, yeah. The Judmont horse. Or he goes to the, what's the 1,800 metre race?
Dubai World
on the same night. The Dubai Turf, which has been won by some absolute freaks as well. So depending how he goes on the dirt next start, that'll just decide where he goes third up. But as Nico said,
J-Mac's going to miss the day of the championships.
Yeah, well, I guess you have to. Especially for that prize money, and this is the best horse he's ever ridden.
So. Day anyway, so it's not like it's a big, like it's of course.
Well, Nature Strip's a better horse than Romantic Warrior.
I don't think you can really compare a sprinter and a mile 2,000.
Yeah, but you just said he's the best horse he's ever ridden. Nature Strip's better.
Yeah, maybe, but yeah. I think Romantic Warrior will go down as his favorite horse for what he's done for his career. He's taken him around the world. Yeah, it just really whets the appetite for Ka Ying Rising coming over to Australia this year for the Everest. As Nico said, global competition is what we love to see, and that's what really solidifies champions on the world stage.
Do you reckon about Barry Elegant? Do you reckon she's better?
No, she's not.
She didn't go at the wrong time. She's pretty good. She went at the wrong time. She should never have gone overseas. Like it was.
Well, she's got a Melbourne Cup win that says she's an absolute freak, yeah. But.
No, she was an absolute bulldog,
but she's not in the same league as Romantic Warrior. Will, let's get you back involved now around the grounds. Give us your Spitfire, any bets you're having Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even Monday. It's a long weekend. Who cares? Fuck it. Tell us who you're backing.
Well, I haven't really had that much of a look, but I priced up Great Western. There's no odds out yet, so I've got no idea. And like these sort of like outwide country cups, like you can get some weird sort of opening prices. But I thought Chimed was like a $3 chance. I have no idea what they're going to do. Like sometimes I'm really good at like sort of trying to get the early prices right. Sometimes I'm awful, especially with these sort of outwide ones because the ratings aren't as, you know, perfect. But Chimed, if it's any bit like $3.50 better, Chimed in the Great Western Cup.
Yep. Anything else, or is that it?
I haven't had much of a look, but yeah, that Charmed in the Great Western Cup is good.
All right. No doubt, Bottle put some Twitter tips up, and he'll word it so weirdly that you've got no idea what he's actually tipped and where it's running.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true.
What are you fucking on about,
Nico? Give us your outwide selections in 3 to 4 minutes, if you can.
Okay, so we're going to head across the ditch. Karaka Million Day over there on Saturday. I think there's three horses that you should be playing around if you're going to have a bet over there. I think Poetic Champion will win the first. This horse was entered in the sprint race, the Sistema Railway. They've drawn barrier one in the Cambridge Stud. Almanza Trophy in the first, and they've chosen to go here. Move to Strike is the second favourite. He's a bit of a hype train, old move to strike. I think Poetic Champion drawn one, cartwheels on, will be extremely hard to beat. The next race I want to play in is in the two-year-old millions. This Schnitzel Colt that Shinny's riding, the favourite, to Bravery Born, looks a fairly decent animal. I backed it on debut over there when I found out about this horse, and it won really well on a heavy track over 800 metres. And it's had a spell, and then it come. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? And then he come and won really well last start over 1,200 metres, which is their main lead-in day. Wet or dry, this horse doesn't faze him. It's Tiakau's best two-year-old, I believe, and I think and hope we get to see this horse come over to Australia sometime soon. I'll just say something.
While we were on break, obviously Opie Bosson retired, absolute champion of New Zealand racing. Will go in the Hall of Fame, no doubt, if he's not already. And Blake Shin has been so smart to go over to New Zealand in this time and sort of solidify his connections with Tiakau. And there's a big chance he's going to be one of their number one riders now, because they probably don't have an A grader as such, maybe A grade for New Zealand, but he's been very smart to go over there and build up those partnerships, and now he's getting all the plum rides on New Zealand's biggest night of racing, and that's Crocodilian. So hat tip to Blake Shin.
Yeah, I agree.
Sweet.
Anything else, Nico? Are you back in that thing at
And there's one in the last, Alabama Lass. She'll be too fast, too quick, too good for those horses. Crochetti's second favourite, and he's going like a busted. They've backed Captured by Love today. Don't know. He's probably the threat to Alabama Lass, but I think he was a bit blessed to beat her. She was a bit blessed to beat her when they got out and trip. I think Alabama Lass is just a little speed machine. I think she'll just win again. So they're my three in New Zealand, and I've got another Friday fill up for you. I think GG's Gemstone will win the feature race tomorrow night at Launceston. It's just got better form around the Inevitable and Co. than the Main Danger does. So I just think it can be winning tomorrow night. And it sort of sees me out, really. WA doesn't really pique anything of interest this week.
Yep. Bot, you have to leave and come back because, there he goes, because something messed up with his audio and I just got a notification. Around the grounds for me, I agree with Nico, or with two of Nico's selections. I'm going to be backing that two-year-old to Bravery Born. I don't need to really repeat too much. It looks the one. Put two in a row together and just looks on that upward trajectory. He's a son of Schnitzel. Tiakau just have too much money over there. Like, they are playing with guns and they're competing against people who bring knives to the gunfight, basically, because they're coming to Magic Million sales and they're just buying the best crop and bringing them back over. And it's hard to compete with, basically. And in the last, Alabama Lass, $3 seems a respectable price, but this is a very, very good race. She went to 1,600 metres and was run down by Captured by Love. At the end of last preparation, but back to 1,200 metres is right up her wheelhouse. I expect her to go straight to the front with 52 kilos and hopefully prove just a little bit too speedy for them. So, yep, pretty keen there. There wasn't much in Hong Kong this week. It's a bit of a down week. So those are the only other ones I'm really backing, I think. Yep.
Would you say my name before, Ben? I had to leave.
Yeah, I was just saying that you have to leave.
Oh, okay.
But you did it. All right. We need a back. We need a lay. We need a pray. We're going to bundle up our three best bets, and we're going to call it the podcast multi. I'll go first. My best bet, I'll probably make it race one at Moonee Valley on Friday night, La Vie N. If Nico wanted to take that one, then I could also go to race 8 Sandown on Saturday and make it number 4 Chalton Lane, but I'll see what he wants to do. It sounds like we're all going to make our lay of the day fickle, race 5, number 6 at Sandown. And my best each way, it's a bit of a tricky one this week. I don't think there's too much that I'm backing each way. How about we make it Naughty Benny, race 9 Sandown, or Odinson? But yeah, those are probably the two at double figures that I could agree with the boys on.
Yeah, my best bet will be New York Cluster. I think it's like a short one that you can just get stuck into. Odin's probably my best bet, really. But, you know, I'll put that as my prey because they've been $12. $12, I think. And Band of Brothers has got none of its favourite. So I'll be living under a bridge if Band of Brothers wins that race.
Huge. Nico?
On Saturday.
Best bet will be race 5, Pondalowie. Same race, Fickle, best lay. And best value of the day would have to be race 9, Sandown, Odison.
Huge. All right, so the podcast multi will be race 1, Mooney Valley, La VN, into race 5, Sandown, Pondalowie, into race 10, Sandown, New York, Luster. And if you log into your Bet365 app, you get 25 to 1 there. So, beautiful. That sounds pretty good to me. We'll be getting a pineapple. All right, tuck into a few questions before we wrap up.
Here we go. Roxas FC
says, is it mentally draining being the Nostradamuses of punting on races? Thanks for the winners last weekend, lads.
Once Nico comes back, we're gonna slow down a bit with Nico back, but
watch it, kid.
We've got plenty of praise that was sung to us by Dylan, Roxas FC on Twitter.
Thank you, Dylan.
So thank you, Dylan.
Hey, Nick, sorry, before you go, Ben. Nick, did you say you were – which horse did you say you were backing on Friday night?
In which race?
In Tasmania.
Well, if you heard, you would have listened.
Yep.
If you listened, you would have heard.
Was it GJ's Gemstone?
You'll have to go back and listen to the podcast, smart ass.
No, I'm actually asking. I'm not listening. Is it GJ's that...
You're being facetious now. Fuck off.
GJ's Gemstone fan page. Speaking of the great man, talk about a magnificent segue. Oh.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Excited to have the master of jumps, Nick Mugolta. Back on the pod. Love heart, love heart, love heart. There you go, Nico. Bit of love from some fans. I don't know. I actually don't know who owns his page, but there you go.
What's your spots?
Don't you be smart too, Ben, otherwise you'll cop it.
He's biting his lip. Chris DeCaster says, thoughts on Romantic Warrior in the Jebel Hatter on Friday and how he may go on the dirt in the following start at the Saudi Cup. I reckon he'll win tomorrow night, and I don't have too many problems with Romantic Warrior on the dirt. I know it's a different type of dirt to the Sha Tin Dirty Trials on, but gee, he's looked good in some of his trials that he's been on the dirt at Sha Tin. So I think you just back a good horse to be a good horse until they tell you that they don't like something. Golden 60, he hated the wet, and that's his knock, other than the fact that he never travelled. But Romantic Warrior doesn't really seem to have many knocks that he's shown that have been obvious so far. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Instagram questions. Jordan Telfer, should we dump on Mr. Brightside for all 3 race wins now or wait until later for the Futurity and All-Star Mile? He's only about $3.50, $2.80 in these futures markets. He's talking about the CF4, the Futurity and the All-Star Mile. Can he go unbeaten?
Yes.
There you go. Shane Burnett, why are listed races being scrapped in Sydney? Carrington Stakes gone. It's because they didn't get enough acceptances, obviously, and lots of dual acceptances. So, yep, they've just wiped it completely. Tyson Hunter, thoughts on what they paid for Home Affairs Progeny at Magic Millions? Reckon he's a producer. It's a good question. Did you see how much some of the Home Affairs horses are going for?
Went for 3.2, one of them. The Sunlight one?
Hmm.
But it's interesting. He was always like a, you know, it was just I've got no idea about this sort of stuff, but I could tell he was a good looking horse, and he was quiet, you know, like he looked like he was as quiet as what Nature Street was going walking around Flemington on Newmore Candy Cat Day.
Coolmore are going to support him over and beyond any other stallion they ever have. He's a son of Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny is now 20 years old. He's going to be the heir apparent son of, if his progeny take, well, yeah. they're going to be well sought after, and they'll pay whatever for him.
Yeah. I've sort of just on like breeding, I know no one cares about breeding, but I've sort of thought it's a little bit interesting how little fanfare Bivouac's got. Like, Bivouac was a better horse than Home Affairs from a better family and from a better sire. So,
yeah, but it is worth noting.
Because one's from Coolmore, one's from...
I do have
a Godolphin.
I do have an answer for this, but...
Yeah. Oh, not as big.
Bivouac is a Godolphin sire. Godolphin run their own stallion business. So horses like Bivouac, they bred themselves and they own themselves. So he doesn't actually go up for sale. So... a lot of their better bivouacs, they're probably going to keep and not even try to sell. Mm. So maybe some of the bivouacs that they're selling are the ones that they were happy to get rid of, and that means potentially they're not as good. But that's just a thought.
True. Yeah.
Tyce Hunter, Ben, why haven't you publicly asked Bot about his new producer? What does that mean?
Say again?
Ben, why haven't you publicly asked Bot about his new producer? Do you know what that means? Well, he's followed it up with, this might give a bit more context. Ben, how did your producer feel about your boy's trip in Japan? Is this Liv? Is he talking about Liv?
Well, who's asked the question?
Tyson.
I'm fucking lost.
I'm lost as well. Ben, yeah. How did your producer feel about your boy's trip in Japan?
Producer? I feel like I should know what he's talking about.
Is he talking about Liv? Maybe. Or is he not? I don't know. Anyway, if you're talking about Liv, I bought her plenty of good souvenirs, so she should be happy. Ryan Deeth has got four.
Oh, don't.
They're all directed at... What? They're nice ones.
Don't bother asking them.
Nah, I reckon it should.
Nico, how's your summer break been? How are you and the missus? How the lawns been? All this rain and sun must be good for business. Nico, jumps racing is cooked. Agree or disagree? And Nico, how do you feel about the hot streak the Bot is on?
Don't have time for oxygen, thieves.
You're not answering questions tonight. Is that how it goes?
It's not from him. He's banned. He clearly doesn't get the message. Oh. Clearly wants to keep himself relevant on my social media. He can fuck off, and he's never going to get a question answered ever. You blokes didn't tell him your message, so that's that. That was tight.
On
your RD. Oh, keep going.
I reckon,
see you next week, mate.
I reckon Nico and RD must have had a bit of a chat because RD knew that Nico was on the podcast tonight. So
I'm done. Over and out.
They must have been. There's a couple more questions from Coops Irwin. When are we getting the J-Mac guest episode as he is a huge racing previews fan? We'll be able to get it over the line sometime this year.
Are we talking about Nico's dad or J-Mac is in the rider?
James McDonald, who likes my tweets basically every week.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
One thing I'll say about James McDonald and Zach Purton, they love a bit of a Twitter stalk after they've had a good day.
Yeah, they all do it. Every jockey does.
They do. Oh, they all do. They've ridden five or six winners. I reckon they just search their name up and just start liking a few tweets. How good am I? How good am I? A bit of head bobbing because James McDonald doesn't follow me. But he likes so many of my tweets that are good about him. So it's pretty funny. Coop Seaman, do you think Andrew Tate is a big fan of the Punt and the Racing Previews podcast? I don't think Andrew Tate will be listening to many podcasts because he's locked up, isn't he?
I don't know. Do you believe
that rental crisis? I've got no idea what that is, Coops. You're on your own island there. And the last one is from Nathan. I can't say the last name. Sorry, mate. Nathan,
give it a crack.
I can't say that. Nathan Dipegrond. Nathan Dapegrond. I don't know. Anyway, Nathan D, he's a good man. I just can't say his surname, but he's a good man, and I've chatted with him before. What's the lowest price you'd take for Southport Tycoon? Convinced he's a superstar. The lowest price I'd probably take for him is 210. I'm on at 230, and I probably wouldn't take odds on. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't take odds on. There you go.
I'd take 260, 270, but I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. Nico, it's been great to have you back on. I know he's left.
He's disappeared.
He's had enough, but anyway.
He's cracked the shits.
He's kept the laptop rolling, and that's all that matters. Well, hopefully we have more success this week, and we'll be back here next week. Punters, it is starting to ramp up. Group one racing is just around the corner. See you back here next week. She was the one that tried to hold on. I told her I can really love and that's okay. I've been going into self-love. The only thing that really mattered was myself. She was like, alright, can you tell me if you make it home? When you decide, then you can call me on the phone. I'll be like, I'ma only call you if you really won't. She was like, hey, hey.